never preached in Luke chapter number 15. I can tell you one thing, the greatest day of my life, like what Brother Tex, he said in 1967 it happened to me. I'm glad in 1981 it happened to me. I'm glad I didn't join a church. I'm glad the church joined up in me. Amen. I'm glad I got saved by God's amazing grace. Boy, His glorious mercy. You say, preacher, I'm looking for justice. You better be glad God don't give you what you deserve. But I'm glad He gives us mercy this morning. And there's not a one of us can write on a chalkboard that we've been good enough to get to heaven. It's going to take God's mercy and His great love to get us to where we need to get, to where He is. And I love Him and I praise Him this morning. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 15. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 15. If you get there, say amen this morning. If you want some preaching, say amen.
Amen.
If you don't, then you're excused. Ain't nobody got you chained to the pew this morning. We got a church sign out yonder. Don't say it's a bingo parlor. It's a church. And anybody going to preach, he needs a handkerchief. Amen. It'd do some of you good to let your head leak. It wouldn't swell near as bad. Luke 15, the Bible said in verse number 3, and He spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he'd lose one of them, if he'd lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he finds it? You see, there's the sheep drifted. Isn't it easy as a sheep to drift out of where that you need to be? You better be glad there's an all-seeing great shepherd this morning, that He's always got His eye upon His sheep. There the sheep drifted. Then the second parable, you'll notice the silver was dropped. The Bible said in verse 8, what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, sweep the house, seek diligently till she find it. When she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I found the piece which I had lost. Not only do we see the sheep that is drifted and the silver that is dropped, but I want us to look this morning in chapter number 15, and verse number 12, at the son that had departed. The son that had departed. The Bible said, and the younger of them, or verse 11, a man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that followeth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living or loose living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. He began to be in want. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. He sent him into his fields to feed swine. And when would have fain there gladly have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, but no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. He said, I will arise and go to my father, and I'll say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. And he arose, came to his father, but when he was a yet great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The son said to the father, I've sinned against heaven in thy sight. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. You may be seated this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time together on the Lord's Day. We want to thank you, God, that we can gather together in the freedom of our country to lift your name high and holy. God, I pray you would help us in this place to always respect your presence and to honor your presence and to always welcome your presence. God, we need you at our church. God, I need you as a preacher this morning to help me preach. I'm more convinced than I've ever been convinced, God, without you I can do nothing. Help me, I pray. Forgive me of where I failed you. Pray you let me be a blessing to your people. Pull on hearts today. And we'll be grateful in Jesus' name. Amen. And all God's people said, this morning, I'd like to preach on this topic concerning this prodigal on saved but lost. Saved but lost. You say, preacher, are you starting new doctrine? No. I want to say dogmatically that he was saved. You say, why was he saved? Well, first of all, he was born to the Father's house. Thank God. Listen to me, children. One day, I'm glad I was born to the Father's house. Then I want to say, not only was he born to the Father's house, but he belonged. He belonged to the Father's house. Then you'll notice that he finally got back to the Father's house. Now the Bible says that if God's not your father, then the devil is. What about that? So I won't preach on this subject. On saved but lost. I want to say, first of all, be careful to not judge your preacher about this sermon. And then number two, please don't judge people that are in this sermon. Because it's a lot easier to be saved and lost than what you know. You see, it's easy to be at the Father's house, but a long way off from the Father's house. The elder brother was. The young boy come home. He said, what's all this singing and dancing about? He said, I've served you these many years. It's been hard and boring, but I've done it anyway. That's a lot like Baptists, I know. They ain't got no joy about nothing. We've served you these many years. Now he's took off and act crazy, and you've played music and killed a fatted calf for him, but you ain't done nothing for me. See, it's real easy to be at the Father's house, but away from the Father's house. I know a lot of people that's at the Father's house, but they really, their heart's way off from the Father's house. Oh, your name's attached maybe on a roll. And yeah, you may come to church on Sunday and you may be at the Father's house, but you're really a long way off at the Father. Matter of fact, when they sang Praise the Lamb, you want him to raise your hands up. When somebody's needing a good amen, your mind's on a ball game out yonder. When the little ones come and do their giving in the bucket, you're thinking about what they could be spending that money on something better. When the collections pass, you're thinking, why have I got to write this tithe check? Look what I could be writing. Yeah, honey, what you need to realize is what it could be like. It's what it could be like. You see, you can get used to a good thing he did. He got used to everything at the Father's house, and it got to be a burden to him. You know, a servant gets up every morning realizing he's got to do something. But when you love somebody, you get up wanting to do it just because you love them for it. Oh my, I want to preach this morning on saved but lost. Now you'll notice, first of all, this boy was saved, but he had lost the Father's place. He had lost his place at the Father's house. The Bible said simply in verse number 13, he said, and not many days after the younger son, he gathered all together, took his journey into a far country. There he wasted his substance with righteous living. I want to say that he had lost his seat at the Father's house. Now you may take it lightly this morning about where you sit, but God don't. Matter of fact, I've noticed some of you this morning, you've changed places, and that's good, because you don't never get to thinking that you own that pew you're sitting on. I better never... Devil hates preaching. I better never take it for granted that I own that chair sitting over there by that table. You see, he was saved, but he was lost. He had lost his place at the Father's house. He had lost his seat where he'd been sitting. I thank God for the places we can sit at the Father's house. Boy, you notice when people are gone and they're very diligent to be here, don't you miss where they sit. Did you know that I know Brother Larry was here this morning? You know why? Because that's where he sits. You know why I know that young Cole was here this morning? I didn't have to ask Mom and Dad. I glanced and I looked at where he sat. Thank God we've got a place that we sit at the Father's house. And I want to say this. In spite of what the devil will tell you, you're missed when you're not in your place. The devil will tell you, well, nobody cares. You've not been missed. Let me tell you something. There are no big ones. There's no little ones here. We all stand even at the foot of Calvary. And we've all got many things in common. We need to all have our seat at the Father's house. There's a lot of people that have missed their seat at the Father's house. You can remember where you used to sit, but you don't sit in them places no more. Oh, I'm going to tell you, sitting at your place at the Father's house is very important. And so, here this young boy, he was saved, but he's lost. He had lost his place at the Father's house. Be careful, don't lose your place at the Father's house. There's times I don't feel good physically, but I've got to push myself because I know when I get to my place, I'll get help in my life. You see, saved but lost, he had lost the place at the Father's house, the place of his seat. Then I think he had lost shelter at his Father's house. You think a lot about shelter. You've never been better sheltered than where you're sitting this morning in God's house, among God's people, among the reading of the Word of God. I don't want to lose that shelter in my life. I need the place in the Father's house in my life. It scares me to think about I didn't have shelter in my life. Shelter from what? Shelter from the world. There's a lot of places. I noticed going last night to Anniston, there's a lot of people really involved in high school sports in their churches because they're all waving and flying their banners and colors. But what happened to the bloodstained banner? What happened to the ones that were called out by the grace of God and His pride of the cross this morning? This ought to not look like a high school football stadium. And it ought to not look like Aunt Sally's yard sale. It ought to look like the house of God, a place of shelter that you can come. And I want to say to you this morning, sinner, I don't care what you've done or how long you've been doing it, this is a place you can have shelter in your life. I'm glad that as a majority, I don't preach to a group of people that look down on sinners. Messed up marriages. I tell you, the only reason yours hadn't been messed up by the grace of God, and you ought to take you about 10 laps around the building. Hun, as mean and wicked as you are, and he stayed with you, you ought to give God 10 claps of praises. You say, preacher, if you was my husband, I'd poison your cornflakes. Yeah, if you was my wife, I'd eat them too. Amen. You ought to thank God somebody's put up with you all these years. Quit pointing your finger at other families that's got trouble. You ought to be praying for them instead of talking about them. You ought to be loving on them and realize that without the grace of God, we'd not be where we are this morning. I don't give a rip what your skin color is. We're all going to meet God. Heard one man say, well, can't nobody come to my church unless their marriage is right. Well, honey, let me tell you what. If everybody's marriage is right, here'd be a small crowd this morning. Shake your little baby's head up and down. A lot of you say it's all right, but you got into bed last night, turned your shoulder and said, Amen. He won't even put the top on the toothpaste and you got an issue. Honey, there's a lot of folks got a lot more issues than you got. You ought to thank God you got a boy to brush his teeth. Amen. Say amen. Amen. You sitting by him, say amen. You see, he was saved, but he is lost. He had lost his place. Be careful, don't lose your place at the Father's house. He had lost his seed. He had lost shelter. You know what I think he had lost too? I think he had lost his service. You know, a lot of you think, well, you know, it's really a chore to live for God. Let me tell you something. That ain't just started. Don't look down. Don't let this statement surprise you. But we got so much flesh on us, it's unbelievable. It's always been hard to live and serve for God. This flesh don't like it. We got an old nature in us that don't want to have nothing to do with God. That's why you got to put Him on a cross and kill Him every day. You say, preacher, I don't like coming to church. I know what your problem is. You're playing in the world too much. You play around with sin in the world, the last thing you want is preaching. But it's the best thing that'll help me and you is preaching. You ever notice when you've been in meeting with God, you come in here ready to go to church? When you've been playing with the world, you dread to come to church? I'm preaching right this. I'm preaching right. He's saved, but he's lost. He lost his place. I believe he lost his place of shelter, his place of setting. I believe he lost his place of service. I believe he lost his place of sermons. You know, Brother Mike, I found this out about preaching. When we think we've knocked the ball out of the park, we ain't done much. But when we walk out of here so defeated, God's done a whole lot more than what anybody told you about. I'm going tomorrow to preach in a place. You know what a woman posted? Under where the boy put the revival up, said, I've listened to every sermon out of their church on that website, and it's helped me so much, and I want to go hear that man that preaches like that. Now, I know that don't mean nothing to you, and I'm not trying to toot my horn. I'm not trying to blow my head up. I'm just saying, honey, a lot of times you need sermons, and when you miss sermons, it's going to affect your life. He is saved, but he's lost. It's a bad place to be. I've been there. I've been there, and I've been there too much, and I don't like being there. I don't like being there. It's uncomfortable being there. How good there's a God lives in me. Don't let me be comfortable being lost. Hallelujah. Not talking about losing your salvation. Talking about losing your way. I'm glad what God does, He does forever. You don't believe me? Just get saved. Let Him move in you, honey. You got to do it what you used to do. He won't leave you alone no more. Ain't it amazing? Before you got saved, He never said nothing to you. That's why I believe in eternal security. Because I've lived it. It'd be so nice if God would leave a preacher alone, let him get a chew of tobacco or a deer stand, not bother him. Okay. Phoebe, let me tell you something. Put this in your Chihuahua dog. What about when you're over there looking at something? Nobody else knows you looking at it, but there's somebody telling you on the inside, quit looking at it. I know tobacco don't bother you, but Marlboro does. Some of you don't bother me. Praise God. I went to a man's house the other day and carried some lunch. There's somebody smoking out. I couldn't even tell if he's sitting in there. But I'm going to confess to you. There's some things in this flesh my flesh likes. Oh, you don't like Dairy Queen. We went last night to Chick-fil-A. They got the best milkshake in town. That little girl asked me, she said, "You want a medium or a large?" I said, "Well, it ain't really about what I want." I said, "Because that caramel cake that we eat back yonder at supper, I know I don't need this, but just give me a medium." She said, "You want that whipped cream and cherry?" I said, oh yeah, don't miss none of that." See, a lot of y'all make fun about my habits that I want to do, but what about yours? Let me ask you this. What about when you go to that Black Friday sale and you done got 9 pair of them gym shorts in your closet? And you go and get you another pair. Oh, so you didn't like that. Let's see if you like this. Ain't people crazy? That crowd laid down in the mall down there in that restaurant. I wish Brother Dave and Brother Gerald would have been there and just sort of stepped on the end of their toe getting over the buffet line. You'd have watched some boys get up off the floor. Amen. People's gone crazy. They're crazy. But you know, I'd be careful because he left the sermons at the Father's house. We sure do need sermons. And this thing about preaching, it'll make you mad sometimes. But you always remember this, the preacher didn't write the Bible. You ought to just thank God in heaven you've got a preacher that'll read to you out of the Bible. You see, he's saved, but he's lost. Anybody know where I'm preaching this morning? See, he had lost his place at the Father's house. I believe he had lost his seed, his shelter, his service, his sermons. I believe he had lost some singing. You know I love singing. You ever notice this? I'm going to give you some good sites on the computer to go get some good songs, spiritual songs. Not achy, breaky heart songs. That's why some of you ain't never got a smile. You listen to that old country music. Boom, 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 boom. All day. Or you on that rap. I mean, it killed my German Shepherd dog one morning. There's a boy turning in a Garrett Circle. Had that rap on. I had a big old bully German Shepherd. He heard it. He run out there and thought he was going to eat the car off the road. But he said, boom, boom, he got run over. That stuff will kill a dog. It'll kill a human. Somebody say amen. Amen! And if you'd look in your young'un's car, you'd know what kind of music they play it. Saved but lost. He lost his place to the Father's house. I'm going to tell you, he lost his path to the Father's house. I want to ask you something in verse number 13. Watch. Not many days after the younger son gathered all together, took his journey to a far country. Can I ask you, Mom and Daddy, something? Get real serious with you. I'm going to close this sermon in a minute. Saved but lost. He had lost the path to the Father's house. There's the influence from the path. Be careful. I want to ask you something. Ain't no doubt in my mind this boy was raised in a godly place. But something influenced him to get off the path. Would you please watch your children and what they're watching on TV? Would you watch and look in on what your children are doing? You see, our children in America is not the ones that's messed up. Mom and daddies don't care. Know who your kid is running with. Children need guidance, not turned loose. Lost the path to the Father's house. There's the influence. You know, there's a lot. Let me tell you what. This young generation has got so many things pulling them off the path. Did you know the older generation's got many things pulling us off the path? There's the influence from the path. And let me tell you something. Be careful. Don't get down on somebody too hard because they got off the path. Because there's a lot of influences that can pull you away from that path. Would somebody help me? What time is it? It's 12:05. Our church got way too dead. We ought to be having preaching to 1:30. Listen to me. Would somebody do me a favor? Would somebody see me on the wrong path? Would you not judge me, but would you just come to me and say, "Preacher, could I help you?" Because I'm going to tell you the last thing I want to do. As far as I know, Christmas morning, I've been celebrating 20 years at this place. I don't want to get off the path now. But I believe I fight harder right now, Brother Dwayne, I've ever fought in my life to stay in the path. Because you know why we get so used to staying in the path? We sort of go to sleep. Go to sleep at the wheel. There's danger. The other night, I was coming back from preaching. It's about 3:30 in Atlanta coming in. I was from Mountain City. And I looked down, Brother David, by my Suburban, and I noticed a car nearly come into me. I said, "Well, he's either about went to sleep or he's drunk one." And we got back off of me. We went maybe a quarter of a mile. He pulled over in front of me. I was watching him. All of a sudden, that car went hard right. You know these big concrete embankments they put on side? It's like somebody put a disc grinder on side of that car. Those sparks went to flying everywhere. I said, "Buddy, that woke you up, didn't it?" He jumped out, threw that thing apart, went and looked on side of that car. What'd he say? And he went to sleep at the wheel. That's what our church will do if we're not careful. That's what we'll do as a Christian if we're not careful. You see, he was saved, but he's lost. He had lost his place, and he had lost his path to the Father's house. There's the influence of the path, and then there's the infatuation off of the path. Well, there's a lot of things that entice us in it. You ever notice she was raised in a country, an old cow stretching her head across a barbed wire fence, trying to get the grass? And she's standing in some of the prettiest grass she's ever stood on. But it's something about the infatuation of having something that we don't have, isn't it? Anybody ever wish they had something and when they got it, she said, "Lord, why did I do this?" Anybody, is there more than one honest person in the building this morning? The infatuation of, well, he heard something sounded better than what was at the Father's house. And then, I want to say there's the infliction of it. Sin comes at a high cost, people. Then there's the infection of it. You know what I've noticed once you get off the path, it's hard to get back on the path.
Can I say that again? Once you get off the path, it's hard to get back on the path. So it's a lot easier. Just don't get off the path. Thirdly, saved but lost. He lost his place. He lost his path. I think he lost his provisions. It does pay to serve God. Do you know that? He might not pay off on Friday, but God does pay off. You say, why did he lose his provisions? Well, verse 14, he lost the Father's pocketbook. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. You see, what he didn't realize is he wasn't spending his money because he didn't have none. The Father cut the water off. You see, you can lose the provisions at the Father's house. God has so blessed us, I don't want to lose them provisions. God is blessed. You know, we had so much food to eat Thursday. It's amazing, wasn't it? Did you know that I preached in places where they would have said, you are a millionaire if they'd have seen your table Thursday. And I know you can't relate to that till you see it. But he had lost his provisions. He lost the Father's pocketbook. Then he had lost the Father's pantry. He was eating the husk that the hog did eat. That's not good living. Young people, let me tell you, it does pay to serve God. There's been times me and my wife have had some hard times come. But God has always provided. Always, always. God has all... Is there anybody here that God has always provided for you? I don't want to lose the provisions. You know why you've got that good job? It's not your intellect. It's not your skill set. It's God has blessed you with that. It's not your years of experience. God has allowed you to do that, and you ought to be grateful and thank Him for it. Verse 15, he had lost his provisions at the Father's house. The Father's pocketbook, the Father's pantry, but it also lost the Father's people. Because in verse 15, watch this. You say, preacher, what's this mean? He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. He wasn't a citizen of that country. He is a foreigner. That's why I'm saved. He is saved but lost. What do you mean, preacher? Father's people. There are nobody that treats you any better than the people at the house of God if Miss Sherry comes. There's nobody will ever treat you any better than God's people. I know some are mean. You're mean. There's some hurt your feelings. There's been a lot of God's people's hurt my feelings. But by the grace of God, I ain't quit at it. There's been a lot of God's people's let me down. But I ain't quit at it. Because I don't want to lose the provisions. You know, I want to say something to God. About 8 years ago, I quit a job. He told me to quit. And Lord, you've been better to me than you've ever been better to me. God, you've been so good to me. Lord, there's been hard times I've had, and I've had to trust you. But Lord, through every one of them, you sure have helped me. And I want to thank you. Now, I don't want to get away from you. I want to be where I'm supposed to be. Because I can never be as safe as where I'm supposed to be. Saved but lost. He lost his place. He lost his path. He lost his provision. But look at this, and I'm done. He had lost his peace of the Father's house. It's very important. I don't care what kind of money you've got. If you don't have the peace of God, your money's not worth nothing. Hey, Brother Lee, I thought about you because I know this is one of your favorite passages in the Bible. Peace of the Father's house. I looked at this in verse 20. He had lost the Father's touch. Boy, when the Father touched him again and kissed him. Some of the older people said something to me about last Sunday's service. This is what they said. They said, "Preacher, we had a great service, but you know what bothers me? That everybody don't get in on it." You can. There's room for you to. When's the last time you've experienced the Father's touch? There's nothing like His touch. Kissed Him. Kissed Him. Brother David, you come. Whatever we need to do. And in verse 22, do you notice this? The Father's talk, but the Father said. I love His words. When's the last time you've talked to Him? When's the last time you've just really talked to Him? Then look at verse 24. Not only the Father's touch, the Father's talk, but lastly, the Father's time. The Bible said, "For this my son was dead, is alive again, was lost, and is found." And they began to be merry. I love spending time with Him. Matter of fact, I'd love to encourage everybody in the building this week before you get your day started, spend some time with Him. About the only time we think of is when the traffic stops and we can't go nowhere. What about getting your day started with Him? Saved but lost. Now I want to say something, clarify a few things. I'm through. If you're here this morning and you've never been saved by God's grace, He would save you. And when you get saved, stay in the will of the Father and stay around His house. Don't get lost out in the world. Don't lose your way and your witness. Stay around close with Him. And then I want to say to you, child of God, you're saved, but you've been lost. You've lost your way. You've lost your witness. You've lost your care. You've lost your concern. You've lost what you really need to be focused on. And this morning, if you'd come get help for your life, I don't think it'd be nobody that would judge you. Because if the truth is known, the pews ought to empty this morning. Is really known. Lord, there's some things in my life I can improve on. And I sure do need to get there. My brother's going to leave.